This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
في رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد هذا ما له فائدة شيخ حتى الصوت ما فيه اليوم الأول من شهر جمادى الآخرة 1445 الموافق ل 14 من شهر ديسمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس and I guess today we'll be dealing with سورة الكوثر. سورة الكوثر سورة مكية وقيل مدنية خلاف بين العلماء. The surah that Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was in Mecca. And some scholars said he was in Medina when he received the surah. So the one who says Medina might be quite stronger than the one who says Makkah. Allah says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar." This is the shortest surah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shan'aka huwa al-abtar. I said alladhina qalu bi annaha madaniyya aqrab la al-aks alladhina qalu bi annaha makkiyya la ra'ayhum aqrab. Those who said it is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in Mecca, looking at the nature of the surah, their opinion might be stronger and closer to the truth. Wallahu a'lam. قال إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصلي لربك وانحر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith which is narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu قال أغفى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنفاءة ثم رفع رأسه متبسما. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم slept and closed his eyes a bit. That's a little and soft kind of sleeping. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened his eyes and then rafa'a ra'sahu mutabassima. And then he looked up and smiled. Imma qala lahum wa imma qalu lahu lima dhahikta. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tabassama, he smiled, he laughed. So they told him, or he asked them, why didn't you ask me, why am I laughing? So they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, lima dhahikta? Why did you laugh? You know, just fell asleep and then woke up and then look up and then smile. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّهُ نَزَلَ عَلَيَّ آنِفًا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيَّ آنِفًا سُورًا. He says, a moment ago, a surah was given to me. Jibreel came and recited the surah to me. فَقَرَأَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ. So he recited Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim inna a'tainaka al-kawthar hatta khatamaha, until the end of the surah. Qala hal tadruna mal kawthar qalu Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. He says, do you know what is kawthar? They said Allahu a'lam, and Allah and his messenger know better. Qala huwa nahrun a'tanihi rabbi 'azza wa jalla fil jannah alayhi khayrun kathir tariduhu ummati yawm al-qiyamah aniyatuhu adadu al-kawakib yukhtalaju al-abdu minhum fa'aqulu ya rab innahu min ummati fayuqalu innaka la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you know what is kawthar? He recited the surah inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, and then he asked them, do you know what kawthar means? They said, Allah knows better. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a river that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me in Jannah. Yeah, this Kawthar is in Jannah. But Yushkil alayhi, that the Prophet in this hadith, he says people will come and drink from it on the day of judgment before entering the Jannah. So that's why to reconcile between them, some scholars said these are two things. Kawthar in Jannah, that is another place, another river called Al-Hawd. And some of them said, no, it comes from Jannah. It extended up to a place out of Jannah, Arasati Yawm Al-Qiyamah, where people can drink from it. And wallahu a'lam, rubbama yakun hadha aqrab, because this water, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty abadan. Abadan. And this is nature of Jannah. Things in Jannah, they're like that. You know, take once and khalas. The worry about that thing is gone. Yeah, you worry about something else, but not this. Wallahu a'lam, this is not that much as significant. So he said, this Kawthar is a river that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me, and also it is in Jannah. Alayhi khayrun kathir. It has a lot of good in it. Yakfihi anna man shariba minhu la yadhma'u abadan. It's enough for this to be a blessed place, that whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty abadan, forever. Taridu alayhi ummati. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kizanuhu aw aniyatuhu adad nujum as-sama, you know, the amount of the stars, you know, it has so many cups, so many containers to be used by people when they come to drink, and they are like the size of the stars in the sky. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants you to understand that yes, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on it is enough for everyone. There are a lot, in a way, you don't need to wait for somebody. Everyone has his own cup to drink from it, if a person passed the test. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yuqtalaju alayhi, yuqtalaju al-abdu minhum, fa'aqul ya rab, innahu min ummati." A group of people will be stopped from reaching the Kawthar. You know, people will come, and I will be inviting them, come here, halummu ilayya. So, but a group of people will be stopped from reaching that place. The angels will stop them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, then I will look at the angels and then I will tell them, no, they are from my ummah also. They are from my ummah. Please let them come. How did he recognize them? Because of the athar, as-sujud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, inna ummati yud'awna yawm al-qiyamati ghurran muhajjalina min athari al-wudu. Faman istata'a minkum an yutila ghurratahu falyafal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will be invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Ghurran muhajjaleen min athar al-wudu. Ghurran, bright faces, muhajjaleen, bright feet, min athar al-wudu, because of the effect of the wudu. Every place you used to wash in this dunya when you're making wudu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will make it bright. And if a person happens to go to hell, waliyadhu billah, hell can never touch that place. That's how he recognized people even in hell when he goes to pick them up to Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him permission to go and bring people out of hell to Jannah. How did he recognize them? Because of this, athar al-wudu. So he will pack everyone, pack them up and out of hell until the time he can't recognize anybody. Because the one who remained there are those who are not praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since some iman is still there in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him permission to take them out of hell to Jannah. Get it? And the last shafa'ah that is going to take place is the shafa'ah to Rabbul Alameen. By himself, to himself. Yeah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look for shafa'ah from anyone. They said, Ya Rasulullah, nastashfi'u bika indallah. We are so that we want you to intercede for us. Nastashfi' Allah bi indak. They say we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a means of our intercession to you, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got very angry at them. He was really angry. He told the one who talked to him in this way, he said, Atadri manillah? Do you know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You come to me and tell me that you're putting Allah to intercede from me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is interceding from somebody, right? Because he is the greatest. Intercession comes from somebody, either he who is Musawi or somebody who is in the low low level. The people on top, they don't do intercession. They command. Yeah. Wallahu khaliqu kulli shay. So he commands. That's why in some places, لَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةُ أَرْحَمِ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Most of the narration says شَفَاعَةُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ or شَفَاعَةُ أَرْحَمِ الرَّاحِمِينَ. But some of them said لَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةُ أَرْحَمِ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Nothing left except the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said فَيَضَعُ الْجَبَّارُ كَفَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his hand inside hell. And he will bring out a people. The Prophet said, لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطُّ. They never did any righteous deed in their life. SubhanAllah. There's the last one. After the righteous people have done that shafa'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his hand inside the hell and bring out of hell people who never did a righteous deed in their life. لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطُّ. They never did anything. And this is one of the opinion, evidences used by the majority of the scholars when they said, تَارِكُ الصَّلَاةِ تَكَاسُلًا يَعْمْدًا لَيْسَ بِكَافِرٍ. You know, the vast majority of the Hanabila and many other scholars believe that if a person stops praying completely, this person is kafir. Kufr مُخْرِجٌ عَنِ الْمِلَّةِ. Kufr that takes him out of Islam. And they have strong evidence for this because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلْعَهْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. You don't need any ta'wil here. Very straightforward. He says, between us and them is prayer. No prayer, no Islam. So that's the opinion of the Hanabila against the majority of the scholars. However, majority, they have their own evidences also to support this. One of them is this. Because Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will bring out of hell, أُنَاس لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطُّ وَمِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْخَيْرَاتِ الصَّلَةِ. Number one after the shahadatain is salah. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam نَفَعَ عَنْهُمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرِ بِالْكُلِّيَ. He says they never did something good in their life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pick up some of them to Jannah. Gift from Allah. Yeah, you'll bring them وَقَدِمْ تُحِشُوا. You know, فَصَارُوا فَحْمَا. They become like the black coal. You know when a person, the body is gone? أَبَدْ أَصْبَحَ مُؤَقَّتْ أُصْوَبْرَ. You know when the body is gone, the person get burnt. You know that black coal, the ashes. So they become like this, and then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will ask the people in Jannah to put on them ma'ul haya, subun alayhim ma'an yusamma ma'ul haya. They put on them water from Jannah, and then the flesh will come back again. Subhanallah, something that. Just tell them to come to the class physically next time.
It's from the admin.
Oh, from the admin? Okay. And it's something that catches the attention in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see how evil is this place, hell. Even after the purification, you know, they have been purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they put on them the ma'ul haya and the laham comes back again. Right, but when they go inside paradise, people in paradise, they still smell hell. Yeah, they call them Jahannamiyun. Yeah, this place is not a good place for a person to make a choice to stay in it, even for a transit. Iwallah, very wrong thinking for a person not to be patient in this dunya and end up going to this place. No. So it's all about sabr, sabr, sabr. You know, nobody's happy. Yeah, so I can see bringing one person that is happy. Nobody's happy. As far as happiness is concerned, only the righteous people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control their heart, they think wisely, and they're calm, they relax. Other than that, no. This is dunya. There's no way for you in the dunya to have everything. No. There's dana'a remaining in it. Yeah. The aish, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la aish illa aishul akhirah. Farham il ansar wal muhajara. Aw farfir lil ansari wal muhajara. That's the ultimate truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Hayawan means the real life. Yeah. So what life is all, if you want to see what life is all about, what could possibly be called life, is a life in the akhirah, not life in the dunya. So is really wrong for a person to make a decision to choose, you know, the life of this dunya over the life of the akhirah, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will see a people coming to me, and then the angels will stop them from reaching me. Then I will tell them, why not? They are from my ummah. And then they will tell me, no. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا بَعْدَكَ. You don't know what exactly they were doing when you left them. Yeah. You don't know what exactly they were doing when you left them. So this is Al-Kawthar. There are so many hadith. Ibn Kathir quoted many of them. If we stay here and talk about this hadith, the dars will finish without finishing in those ones. So whoever wants the details, he should go to the books of Tafasir and the book of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah gave him Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar is defined as the Kawthar, the river that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him according to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the closest meaning to the ayah. You get it? Although some people, they take it as a literal meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Al-Kawthar, meaning a lot of things and blessings. And this one also is true. Alhamdulillah. This one also is true. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he taught you that which you don't know. And the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you is a lot. SubhanAllah. Look at the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up. Yateem. You know, threatened since the childhood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been threatened. In his rihla to Sham, you know, that rahib, you know, he asked the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take him back to Makkah immediately. Because he says all the signs of that person who is supposed to be the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are on him. And he says, I'm pretty sure if he reached Sham and the Jew, they see him, the consequence is death. They will kill. Because they know that he's from the Arabs, not from the Jew. They will kill him, right? Knowing that he's the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will not hesitate to kill. So he begged the uncle to take him back to Makkah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the message, he became the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the journey began. Never rest in his life. Never rest. Up to the moment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this life, he never relaxed. Yeah, go and check the history, you will understand what I'm saying. The person who says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never slept was right. It doesn't mean literally sleeping, but he was right because he was busy almost 24 hours. Yeah, fixing, fighting, giving tarbiyah, teaching, educating, advising. You know, every place the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. In the period of 23 years, he brought the world to what we are still benefiting from now. Managed to cleanse the al-alam al-arabi. The alam that people used to think that animals live sometimes more organized than them. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah bring them up to right, to the life of smartness. And they led the ummah to success. They took Islam to places where nobody will understand. That king among the Persians, if I'm not mistaken, when they were talking to him, he was amazed. You, the Arabs that we know before, he can't believe that, you know, it's like this is dream for him. Somebody from them coming, talking straightforward, well organized, you know, and he knows what exactly he's looking for. He was so amazed with this. And subhanAllah, they brought them to their knees. And all of these are because of the efforts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He started with one person. And before he leaves this life, he saw in Hajjat al-Wada' alone, not less than 100,000 people next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَانَ فَضُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. So a lot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, so many things. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ, you know, companions, family, wives, friends, so many things. And on top of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the best place in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. He says, take some part of the night as additional task on you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to resurrect you on the best position on the day of judgment. And this is the place where nobody can reach it except him. Right? He said that it's a place in Jannah. لَا تَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ الْوَسِيلَةِ. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, آتِ مُحَمَّدٍ الْوَسِيلَةِ وَالْفَضِيلَةِ. He says, this is a place in Jannah. لا تنبغي لأحدٍ لا تنبغي إلا لأحدٍ أو لواحد من عباد الله, which cannot be given except to one person amongst the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I hope I will be the one. And therefore, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me this after the adhan, حلت لك شفاعتي, أضمن لك شفاعتي, I promise to grant you my intercession. So we believe that he's the one who will get this place. It's just humility and humbleness from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best house. The best house. His house is on top of every house in Jannah. The best house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rafa'a dhikrahu. In every place you go, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been elevated, you know, raised up. And he connected his name to the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah make him in the way you attach yourself to him, you succeed in life. You detach yourself from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you fail in life. Iwallah. Up to date, this is how it is. Look at those famous people, you know, that you have in the world. Hitler and down there to others, Maradona and so many other people, you know. You remember them when you go to the football field. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single part of your life. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of their attachment to him, we can't forget them. The scholars, Malik, Shafi, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Abu Hanifa, Sufyan al-Thawri, all of those great scholars, you know, Bukhari, Muslim, you know, they get this fame that everyone remembers them because of their attachment with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, apart from other many, many other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah. So إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ carries the same, both meaning, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him kathir, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the kawthar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَرْزُقَنَا جَمِيعًا الشُّرْوَ مِنْ الْكَوْثَرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So when ni'mah is given to a person, what must he do? Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, صَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And therefore, intensify the amount of your ibadat. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Allah emphasizes on the prayer because it's the most important act of worship after iman. Yeah, prayer is the most important act of worship after iman. And therefore, we should perfect it. We should relax. Yeah, we should perfect it and relax. And also, my advice to all of us, because I think the negligence also is in the students of knowledge, don't rush in your prayer. Yeah. See, some of us, when we pray very, very fast. Don't rush. As a student of knowledge, this is not appropriate. You are an example to others. You're not doing it for riyah, but people are monitoring. Yeah? It's not good for you. It's not good for you in the eyes of Allah, because if you go to that speed, you will lose what you're doing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Khalad bin Rafi, he says, فَإِنَّكَ إِن مِتْتَ عَلَى هَذِي مِتْتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْمِلَّةِ. He was praying very fast, very quickly. He says, if this is your prayer and you die like this, you will die upon something not Islam. Not Islam. So it's very painful when you see a student of knowledge rushing. At least in the sujood, remain there up to the moment you can say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la calmly. And then stand up if you don't want to do more. In your jalsa bayna sajdatayn, Rabbi ghafirli, warhamni, wa'afini. If you're so lazy, you know, just Rabbi ghafirli, but calmly. And then go for the other sujood. In every part of your prayer, go slowly. Then forget, إِنَّكَ تُنَاجِي مَنْ رَبُّ الْعَلِمِينَ. Your life. It doesn't make sense. It is inappropriate for us when we have the munajah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make it very speedy, very quick. You know, if I have a munajah with my friends, sometimes I don't want it to finish, right? You go to your in-laws' house until they get bored of you. You want to be closer to them, right? You're talking to your family, you know, you don't want something to cut it off. But now you're having a secret and a special conversation between you and the one who created you. The most closest time, the most valuable time you have in the dunya is when you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah. We should know this. The most valuable time in this dunya is when you're with Allah. And when are you with Allah? In the prayer. Yeah, you're with Allah every time, but this is a special being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you don't make it, you know, correctly and calmly, you know, I don't know what kind of face you're showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should fix this. You know, I'm saying this because I can see from our brothers, you know, who sometimes when they pray a bit quicker, relax, calmly, you know. Yeah. The sisters also, they do. In some places, they call the speedy prayer a sister's prayer. You Allah, I'm telling you based on what I have heard. When somebody prays very quick, they say this is sister's prayer. And they even say that it is very concise, but it has a lot of reward. You get it right? This is so concise, but has a lot of reward. I don't know what kind of reward that is. So if the speed is very high in the way it takes it out of consciousness, then that prayer is batila. Whether from a male or from a female. You're rushing, you're not rushing. You have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. Because you're here actually for what? For the prayer. Not for something else. You cannot contradict what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants with your personal interest. You give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right. And subhanAllah, Allah did not take from us a lot. How much did Allah take from us on a daily basis for the prayer? How many hours? Not even 1 hour. That's a very righteous person. If you're the imam praying like this, Adam, nobody will come to your masjid anymore. You Allah. If you pray 10 minutes, you should expect to have low followers in your masjid. And people will complain. The good one will tell you. Yeah, we have heard a lot of this, a lot of this. You need one page. Oh, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. It's similar to reciting Surah Al-Baqarah in the prayer. Read the page. I witnessed a battle and a strong debate in a battle because somebody read on Friday Surah Al-Sajdah. And he read it actually in the wrong way. I was saying, what if he read it in the right way? Wrong way because he read half of it and half of Surah Al-Insan to give some relief to the people. Somebody was really fighting him in that masjid. Why? It's too long. And then I was like, oh. So what if he read the whole surah? Because the sunnah is to read the whole thing. The sunnah is to read the whole thing. But subhanAllah, we have our own people. They don't, they're not patient anymore. Yeah. Living in a time which is, I don't know how to describe this time of ours. You know? A person can go to the TV and spend 6 hours, you know, and doesn't mind. But to spend 5 minutes with something that is beneficial to his deen and the dunya, no. We cannot tolerate this. You give a lecture, 30 minutes, only Abdurrahman will come. Nobody will come, you know. If you see somebody coming, maybe it's your family member that is shy of you. Because you will meet him next time and tell him, why didn't you come to that? Anyway. But we are patient. The problem is we are patient to stay with khuza'balat, unnecessary things. We are very patient with those things. But things which are bringing you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, benefiting your dunya and the akhirah, we're not patient to do. Although they don't come, you know, frequently. Maybe once in a year, once in a month, you know, once in a week. But still, the lifespan of our you know, enthusiasm listening to the lectures is very, very short, very small. We have to change this, you Allah. We have to change it. Those short things, you know, we used to call them sandwichat. Yeah, you know those small books? The scholars in Medina, they used to call them sandwichat. Because they deprive you from the healthy thing. Those small compilation that the scholars are doing, some scholars, are doing, they take the student's attention from that which is more beneficial. Yeah, you used to go to a book, but now you have a small book that talks about what you're looking for. So I just buy those small books and read them. Right? We used to go and they give us assignment in the university. SubhanAllah, we go to the library. Empty-handed. You have nothing except your book, your papers, you know, those small notes, papers with the pen. You get into the library, you have no clue. You just know the topic. So you go to okay, this topic is about this in hadith. So you go to the section that concerns hadith. You're looking for the madan, places of expectation. And subhanAllah, what happened is, I open the book, you know, I'm looking for a topic on salah. Okay, I go to the table of content, right? While it's scanning the table of content, I will come across an issue talking about Hajj that I have been looking for it for ages and I couldn't get. Oh, mashallah. Oh, this thing, I never know that it is here. Then I open that page. I read. Trust me, before you come, you finish your research, you become a mini scholar in many other things. But now, no, just take the word, put it in Maktabat al-Shamila, give me all the thing I need in 1 second. Copy, paste, put this and that. You know? That's why in the university, when the assignment is being given to you, you know, huge, and I see a big thing, I know that, yeah, this one I'm going to see copy and paste. And some of them also, they even forgot to fix it. They copy even with some of the things from the website, you know. They forgot to remove those ones. And Allahu musta'an. And these things, they come with benefits, but at the same time, they have their own consequences to be paid. Wallahi, many students left studying because of these small things. Many students. I have a person who told me, why do you buy books? We have these CDs and programs. So we stay away from buying books and we don't read from the Ajhiza also. We're losing. Somebody gave me his library, big library, the whole thing. I tell him, why can't you just go with it? He said, no, I don't need. I have the CD with him. Every book is in that place. And a very good student, but I see this is the ghurur from Shaitan. As Shaitan tells you that you can replace those beneficial things with this sandawishat, they call them. So we have to change this attitude. We need to understand the purpose of life. And inshallah, you will be able to be patient. Pick up a place where you go and expand and extend your knowledge and increase your iman. And be very serious on this matter. Don't compromise this. Iwallah, my dear brothers and sisters, don't compromise this. Don't follow those short things, you know, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds, you know. That's why you remain. Trust me, if you're going to be honest on yourself, you will see yourself remaining in the same position. I always tell people, you stick to those small things on the YouTube. And at the same time, you tell me you want to become a scholar. Go and ask the person who is making those small lectures. Is it what he did to become this person? No, they never did like this. They followed the right way. That's why they became who they are. And I don't want to follow the right way. I follow the shortcut, simple, easy way according to the way I see it. But at the same time, 10 years, 20 years, I remain in the way I am. Never improve. Because I don't use the correct path. So Allah says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. وَانْحَرْ. And also sacrifice the animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ibadat, prayer, hajj, siyam, and any ibadat, you have to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the ibadat that are related to nusuk, especially the slaughtering, is supposed to be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah, very beautiful ayah. Tell them, my salah, inna salati wa nusuki, and my sacrifice, وَمَحْيَيَا and my death, or my life, وَمَمَاتِيَا and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who hates you will be the one who will be cut off. Yeah, they told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقِيم لَا يُولَدِ لَهُ, right? Yeah, it doesn't have a child. You know, after Islam comes, the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them died. Those people who came after Islam, they all gone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last one was Ibrahim, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he also passed away at a very young age. Yeah, the rest are daughters, all of them. Zainab, the oldest, Ruqayya Umm Kulthum, and then Fatima is the youngest one among them. All of them died. during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except Fatima. She died 6 months after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So subhanallah, they were saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him children, you know, لا يولد له. And that shows that he is not blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, no. إِنَّ شَانَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. The one who hates you will be مَقْتُوءُ الْبَرَكَةِ, will be the one who will lose, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut him off in this dunya before he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's it. And if you are upon the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ شَانَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. The one who hates you will be the one who will be cut off. You Allah. Don't worry about the enmity and the hatred. Allah says, وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَسْتَفِزُّونَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا وَإِذَا لَا يَلْبُثُونَ خِلَافَكَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I love this ayah so much because we see the application of this ayah in a way stronger than what Allah SWT mentioned in the ayah itself. It says the aim of the kuffar and the enemies is to take you out of the city. Yeah, exactly like the Warqat bin Nawfal told him. They will take you out of the city. So they are planning to take you out of the city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا وَإِذَا لَا يَلْبَثُونَ خِلَافَكَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They also will not be able to stay in this place except a little. Subhanallah, they took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of the city, and Allah took them out of life completely. Not even out of Makkah, out of life during the battle of Badr. 1 year later, it doesn't even take longer. A year later after the hijrah, Allah cuts them off completely. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Yeah, so the same goes to the du'at. When you are giving the da'wah in any place and people hate you, don't worry. Just make sure that what you're doing is correct. Yeah, it's really necessary and important to make sure that what you're doing is correct. And the rest, don't worry. Inshallah, Allah SWT will take care of it. قال الله عز وجل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. This is سورة الكافرون. This surah is مكية. This surah is مكية, given to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was in Mecca before he migrated. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى addressed the surah to the kafirun, right? And this is one of the most important surah in the Quran because it contained the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially tawheed al-uluhiyya, right? Tawheed al-uluhiyya. It contains tawheed al-uluhiyya, so it's one of the recommended surahs that a person should read. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read qul ya ayyuhal kafirun and qul huwallahu ahad in the rakatay al-fajr. Yeah, before the Salat al-Fajr. And some other places also, the scholar said it's recommended that a person should focus on these two surahs because both of them are focusing on the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is all about Tawheed. I like the approach of Al-Hanafi and Ibn al-Qayyim. He says, Quran, kulluhu fi sha'an al-Tawheed wa ahlihi. Wal kalama an al-shirk wa aqibat al-shirk wa ahli al-shirk. Kullu al-Quran, from A to Z. If you touch the Quran is all about Tawheed, or about the result of Tawheed, or the people of Tawheed, or about the shirk which is against the Tawheed, and the negative consequence and evil consequence of being a mushrik, and also the evil consequence, you know, and the aqibah, the jaza of the mushrikeen. So this is one of the important surah that emphasize on this nature of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody told a person, why do you call you are so extremist? He says, why? He said, you're calling kuffar. Why do you call them kuffar? He says, what do you mean? I cannot call them kuffar. Islam call them kuffar. He said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lakum dinukum wa liya din. So the sheikh asked him, which surah is this? He says, Surah Al-Kafirun. Allahu alam. This is a story somebody says, whether it happens or not, but it's so funny. And we have people like that who believes that you shouldn't call them kuffar. Allah called them kuffar. But anyway, which surah is that? Surah Al-Kafirun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them kuffar. Yeah, we have these claims nowadays that this word shouldn't be used. We cannot call them kuffar. رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ called them kuffar. So whoever tells you, why do you call them kuffar? Tell them, I don't call them kuffar. Allah called them kuffar. Yeah, they're kuffar. Yeah, of course, we don't deal with a person who is a kafir and go to his face and tell him, ya kafir. Of course, no, we don't do with that. But when you're talking in the classes, you call them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them. Are they kuffar? Yes, they're kuffar. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them. He says, ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَابُدُ. And they said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. The reason why this is being revealed to the Prophet ﷺ is because of the invitation by the kuffar for him to accept worshipping, their idols, and then they will go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? They come to the masjid, he goes to the temple. Yeah? Any history that says the Prophet ﷺ accepted this is fake. Never accepted this. They propose, yes. But did he accept? No. What is the evidence? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Yeah, that is a clear barrier between me and you. I will never worship what you're worshipping. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. And you also, you will not accept. So since you don't want to accept what I'm worshipping, I'm automatically will never accept actually what you are. Even if you accept, I will not accept. لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبِدُونَ مَا عَبَدُ. I don't worship yours, and you also don't want to worship mine. وَلَا أَنَا عَبِدُ مَا عَبَدْتُ. And I will never worship that which you're worshiping. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبِدُونَ مَا عَبَدُ. And you will never accept to worship what I am worshiping. SubhanAllah, this is a clear barrier between shirk and Islam. There is no way for Islam to be combined in one place, even if they have Bayt al-Ibrahimi. You hear about Bayt al-Ibrahimi? Ibrahim House, right. They have in Dubai, right? Yeah, Abu Dhabi, yeah, that's that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdina wa iyyahum. House which has a temple and the masjid and what is the other one? Synagogue, right? The church also, right? I don't know whether they added some other religion because they are accommodating everyone. There is no way for Islam to be mixed with other religions. Yeah. Allah says, Lakum dinukum waliyadin. Yeah. But you know, the blame always is on us. And we are killed by others, we're persecuted by others, and always we are to be blamed. You are the one. Every time when you hear blame, is us. Kuffara blaming, liberalism blaming. Orientalists are blaming. Everyone is blaming. And our brothers also nowadays are blaming us. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, you know, like Bashirukum, these are all the signs that Islam is growing. Yeah. When you see a battle against something is very fierce, that means it is growing. When it is not growing, nobody cares. But now when you see the battle from every angle, every dimension, because it is growing. Whenever they bring a plot, Allah SWT will open a lot of doors. Yeah, we are losing, but we're gaining also at the same time. Yeah. What we are losing is a test, but at the same time, we are gaining the ground. And there will be a time whereby the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no place except that Islam is going to enter this place. Whether they like it or they don't like it, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الدِّينُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. Wherever night reach, wherever daily reach, they reach, you know, Islam is going to reach that place. I guess we are closer to reaching this. That's why now the adawa, the enmity is very strong against us. And as long as we hold upon our religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. Allah says, don't you ever be weak. You know, don't worry. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't be sad. You're on top of them. Ayu Allah. They will never succeed. As long as we're holding upon our religion, they don't succeed. They can only succeed when we neglect the religion and we start imitating their life. Yeah, that's why it's very, very, very important for us to make sure that we stick to our values. Yeah? Stick to our values. But unfortunately, this is not who we are. Right? If I quote, قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ in my lecture, academic lecture, people might not find it interesting. But when I say Qala John, Qala Fulan, then they will take me seriously. Right? You write articles having Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in it more. Although nowadays, a person will write something about Islam. Trust me, most of the writings about Islam, we don't quote from Quran or from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all quotation from others. You know, even the righteous predecessors also, we don't quote from them. We quote either from Kuffar, Islam, I'm telling you, Islam. I was just reading something really Islamic, and many quotation from that thing is from Kuffar. Our reference, when we talk about a fact, a reference is a book written by a kafir. You can see what level, you know, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached. Kafir is teaching us our religion. What is this, you know? How many times do you see them writing books and referencing us? Never. And we reference them. We neglect our book, we go back to them. So we became like what? Al-Aysa fil bayda yaktulha al-dhama wal-ma'u fawq dhuhuriha mahmulu. Kal-himar yahmiru asfara. We have all the things, but we don't benefit from them. قال الله عز وجل لكم دينكم ولي دين. You go with your religion, go with mine. Please do remember this ayah, because it's really important for us to apply it in this time of ours. Yeah. Many people will tell you, why do you do this? لكم دينكم ولي دين. This is your choice. Yeah, I choose what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do, and I'm going to die doing this. Period. That's the only way to succeed. لكم دينكم ولي دين. All of these khuza'balat they brought, you know, talking about Islam is a religion of slavery, pedophilia, and all of these stupidity and useless things they wrote. The answer to them is lakum dinukum waliya din. Yeah, we will see who wins, right? In their own territories, we have zina and raping done against younger children. You know, young children. As somebody says, this world is twisted. One of the big politicians in one of the countries, he says, when a girl married at the early age, the whole world will talk, even if she's the one who wants this marriage. Nobody is forcing her. She accepted it. The early age, I mean, 15, 16, 17. It's very early age to them. When she married, the dunya will stand up. How come this is pedophilia and this is injustice and unfairness? And at the same time, a younger girl in the primary school becoming pregnant and nobody's talking about this. That's how the system is twisted. When batil happens, nobody will talk about it. When the correct happens, everyone will talk. Why? Because they know if the correct thing exists, then the batil cannot succeed. They have to fight it. Yeah, they have to fight it. And they get the cooperation from some of these weak Muslims who supported them, either they know or they didn't know, but they have been used by the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to corrupt our society, and they're trying their best to make sure they succeed in that regard. So Allah says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. We have our religion, they have their religion. They go with their religion, we go with our religion. They go with their manhaj, we go with our manhaj. So very short surah, but it puts the barrier that is supposed to be kept, and nobody is allowed to cross it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. The surah is a very short surah also given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. That's why some scholars said it was the last thing was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last surah, yes. But the last thing that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ Ayah number 281 in Surah Al-Baqarah. And some scholars said Ayah Al-Riba الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الْرِبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Some scholars combined between both. They said Jibreel came with these ayat, all of them, all together. Because these are ayat, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا and الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الْرِبَى, they're both in one page. Al-Ladina is the first part of the page, and Wattaqu Yawman is the last ayah on the page. So they said Jibreel came and recited from Al-Ladina Akuluna Riba, and end with وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. So the one who says الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى is the last thing, they are looking at the beginning of the last thing given to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The one who says وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا is looking at the last ayah being recited by Jibreel عليه السلام to the Prophet in that city. So there is no contradiction at all. So إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, this is the surah given to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at the last part of his life, which tells the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you have to start wrapping up because your time is up. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu used to go with Abdullah ibn Abbas to the place. He has a majlis that he sit with the people of Badr. You know, these are the people that he consults from time to time. So he used to go with Abdullah ibn Abbas, and they got annoyed because they are old people. And he used to come with this young, very young person actually. So they got annoyed. They told him, we also have children. We want to bring them. Why do you bring him all the time? They are not saying this out of hasad, but this is a place of big people, you know. They might be having things to discuss which doesn't fit the younger people. It will be restricted, you know. So they told him this, Omar said, he kept quiet. He decided to teach them lesson practically. One day he brought Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he asked people intentionally, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. What is the interpretation of this? What do you understand from this? They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he granted him victory, and therefore he should observe the shukr. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. You know, so Umar radiallahu anhu said, that's it. He said, yes, that's it. And then he looked at Abdullah ibn Abbas. He says, Ya Abdullah, what do you think about that? He said, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his ajal is very near. And this is now the time of tafarruq. You can see deep in terms of understanding. Yeah. This is now the time of tafarruq with the ibadat. So all of the companions appreciate that. They never thought, you know, a child like this, you know, can be able to do this type of tafsir. So Umar told them, this is the reason why I always bring him here, because he's small in size, but big in terms of thinking and brain. There are kids like that. You know, and every child actually can be like this if the parent put that smartness in the right place. Every child is capable of being very smart. We have to give him the tarbiyah like the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. You will see amazing things in your children. Every child has this capacity, but the parent usually kill this capacity because of the bad approach in giving the tarbiyah. قال إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. When the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, والفتح. الفتح is referring to فتح مكة. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam get inside Mecca عنوتن. عنوتن means by force, right? They broke the treaty. You remember the treaty, right? Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where nobody amongst the believers was happy with that treaty, except Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr accepted because he's Abu Bakr. Whatever was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just yes, from his heart, yes. He just have this machine inside him that tells him it is the only yes that exists. That's why he became unique. Yeah, he just say yes, and yes, yes, from the heart, yes. There's nothing else. He told him, are you still willing to follow him? He said, what happened? He said, because he said he went to the heavens and he went to Bayt al-Maqdis in one night. He said, no, wait a minute. Did he say that? They said, yes, he said. They are so happy that now they can take Abu Bakr away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I just want to make sure that you guys are not lying. Are you sure you heard him saying this? They said, yes, 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 he said it. He said, sadaq. He said, he spoke the truth. They said, how can you believe in this? He said, come on. This man is telling me on the daily basis that an angel is coming to him within the blink of an eye. And I don't have issue with that. And then you want me to have issue with going to Bayt al-Maqdis in one night? He said, this is nothing with me. I accept that one. So this is nothing with me. And then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, also like this guy said, you said that you went to Bayt al-Maqdis last night. He said, yes. He said, sadaqt. That's Abu Bakr. Very unique strange iman, which makes him the best, and nobody is like him in terms of iman. So when he signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, everyone comes to get inside Makkah Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, أَتَدْخُلُنَا مَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلَّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ. And that's the ru'ya of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then when they are stopped by the Quraysh, they were annoyed because they have power, they have the ability. Makkah at that time is very weak. And add to that also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَغْزُونَ قُرَيْشِ بَلْ نَقْزُوهُ. After the battle of the Ahzab, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Quraysh will never fight us after this. We will be now the fighters. They fought so many battles. They are the one who are attacking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never went to them. But now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, their time is up now. Now it's our turn. Right? After he saw that, after the Muslim also saw what happened with the Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. You know that when he was injured here, he says, Ya Allah, if there is any balance of the battle between Quraysh and Rasulullah, Ya Allah, I want to live because I want to participate in that battle. And subhanAllah, he was almost going to heal completely. Right after making that dua, the scholars mentioned that in Fajr al-Jurh, it opens back again. So those who are there and they heard him saying this, they understand that there will be no battle between them and Quraysh. And this is what happened. So they have the strength, they have the power, and Quraysh cannot do anything. They're very weak. Most of their warriors, they have been killed or they accepted Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept anything in the Makkah, because Makkah is not an easy place. It's a special place. You cannot fight in Makkah. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me only small amount of time to finish whatever I'm doing. He said, لَمْ تَحِلَّ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي وَلَا تَحِلَّ لِأَحَدٍ بَعْدِي. Makkah has never been, you know, fighting Makkah has never been legalized to anyone before me, and after me also nobody. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me permission to go and fight just for a while. And Allah told him, you have to finish between this time and this time. You must make sure that you finish. If not, you have to stop fighting. This is Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept whatever Quraysh are going to ask for. So many events happened before this, but I'm just trying to summarize and go straight forward to the point. So they send Suhail. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, he says, Suhail is coming to you, sahalallahu amrakum. Everything's going to be simple, inshallah. So they end up signing a treaty. Treaty starts with mushak, right from the beginning. When they write, Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Quraysh. Yeah, Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Quraysh. They say, we don't agree with that. Just write Muhammad bin Abdullah. Because we don't agree with you to be Rasulullah. If we agree with you to be Rasulullah, why do we come here to sign this agreement at the first place? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali bin Abi Talib to remove it. Ali was not willing to remove. They said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, where is it? And he removed it by himself. Whatever the case might be, who will remove it? It was removed, that part. They just wrote Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim also didn't agree with that. They said, we agree with Allah, but ar-Rahman, who is Rahman? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنُ أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا. They don't agree with Ar-Rahman. And this is lying. They say, we don't know who is the Rahman. But in reality, they know who is Ar-Rahman. Because they used to write in their poetry also the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. They know. But they just want to annoy the Prophet ﷺ when they told him, we don't know anyone who is called Rahman in this life except one. And this is Rahman al-Yamama. Who is that? Musaylimah al-Kadhab. Yeah, Musaylimah al-Kadhab called himself Rahman. And this is one of the names that you cannot call yourself this. And I'm sending also this message to the researchers, because nowadays when we write, there is a reference which we call Rahman Rahim. Remove that Rahman Rahim, no problem. But Rahman is Kadhib. There is no Rahman in this dunya except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbul Alameen. Kadhib, to have somebody in this dunya, human being, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is called Rahman. Kadhib. Because Rahman is the one whose mercy encompasses everything. Who is like that? Nobody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when somebody comes and calls himself Rahman, even in a state of joke, you don't want to pronounce the whole name, then change the name completely. Name yourself somebody else. Don't call it Abdul Rahman and then change it to Rahman. It doesn't go. Ibn Kathir says, these are some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you cannot call somebody using them.
Ar-Rahman, like Al-Khaliq. You can call somebody Al-Khaliq, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You cannot call somebody Ar-Rahman, Allah. You cannot call somebody this, Ar-Rabb. These are all unique names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and nobody is supposed to use this. So Ibn Qayyim says, I'm sorry, Ibn Kathir says, look at this person who named himself Rahman. He says, فَأَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الظُّلِّ فَأَصْبَحَ لَا يُنَادَى إِلَّا وَاسْمَهُ مَقْرُونًا بِالْكَذِبِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مُسَلَّمَةُ الْكَذَابِ, he calls himself Rahman. Allah covered him and clothed him with the clothes of humiliation in the way nobody calls Musaylama except we added after his name, Al-Kadhab. Yeah, that's a reward in this dunya before he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. So Ash-Shahid, the Prophet sallallahu agree, and those components of the treaty were really painful. Number one, if a kafir, somebody converted to kufr and left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi in Medina to Makkah, the Meccans are not supposed to return him back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, if somebody who accepted Islam in Makkah and left Makkah to Medina, Rasulullah has to return him back to Kufar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agree. No fighting for 10 years. Agree. And know this, know that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed with everything they mentioned. And subhanAllah, the one that is worse to the companions, you know, in terms of acceptance, none of them is worse, but the one that the companions find it so difficult to accept was the one that says, if somebody accepted Islam and come to us, we have to return him. They say, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? How can you accept this? If they come to us, we have to take them back. And if one of us run away to them, they don't have to bring him back to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, we do accept. And also they cannot go inside Makkah now. They have to come back next year. Subhanallah, it was a very painful moment. Umar went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, aren't you Rasulullah? He said, yes. They said that he talked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was very angry. He said, didn't you promise us that we're going to get into this place? Why are we giving this leniency, you know, becoming weaker in the presence of our enemy? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, I am Rasulullah. There is no doubt about this. And I would never disobey Allah because Allah asked him to do this. He says, wala asi. And then he told him, did I tell you you're going to enter Makkah this year? Umar said no. So he left Rasulullah. He was very sad, very upset. He went to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr got him. And subhanAllah, look at Qulub Ma'bad. The same thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Umar, the same thing Abu Bakr also told Umar. He told him, yes, he's Rasulullah, and he will never disobey him. Did he tell you you're going to enter Makkah this year? He said, no. He told him, Ya Rajul, he's the messenger of Allah. Ilzam gharzah. You want to succeed? Follow his footsteps. That's the only success you have in this dunya. So Allah, Umar regretted so much for that statement that he was saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Umar. And subhanAllah, look at accepting Allah and accepting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always bring what? Bring success. Those conditions, they are the reason why the Quraysh were defeated. Do you get the idea? Those conditions, you know. Number one, two of them actually. Number one, the one that says if one of us converted to kufr, we didn't need to return it back. But if one of them accept Islam and come to us, we have to take him back to them. Abu Jandal, this is Ibn Suhail, the one who signed the agreement. He came before even the signatures the agreement is being completed. He came in chain. He managed to escape Makkah with the chain, and he dropped himself in the presence of the believers. Very, very painful moment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No problem," because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "We did not sign the treaty yet." Abu Jandal looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, this is the first person that I would charge you for. We apply the treaty first on my son. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, please, please be kind. We did not even sign the treaty. Please, let us start with somebody else, but not with him. Abu Bakr Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was begging him. Suhail says, either you agree with me to take him back or I will not sign the treaty. Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sign the treaty.
Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, we shouldn't let him go. And even he went to Abu Jandal and he told him, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ النَّجَسِ. And he gave him his sword. He said, just take the sword and take action. Against who? His father. You know, it's not easy for a person to kill his father. So, فَظَنَّ الرَّجُلُ بِأَبِيهِ. And that's better, actually, that he did not kill Subhanallah, what do you call Suhail, because he accepted Islam later on. Right? He did not kill him. So, Ash-Shahid, Abu Jandal went back. Abu Basir accepted Islam and he managed to escape and he went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. Quraysh sent two people to go and bring him back. They went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, Al-Ahad Alladhi Bainana. We have a treaty among us that you have to return anyone who comes to you. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Wa nahnu ala al-ahd. We are upon the promise. We will not break it. What do you want? So Abu Basir came to you. Ah. So we have to return it back. He said, no problem. Abu Basir tried with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, don't worry. Allah will support you. Abu Basir try. He said, no, don't worry. Just go. Allah will support you. Abu Basir accepted. So he went. On the way, you know, these people, they are Muslim is smart. You don't use the smartness, then your enemy will look like smart person. Yeah. You will lie. This is how it is. They're very dumb. But you are not using your smartness, then the dumb person appears to be the smart one. And we appear to be the opposite. So this Muslim was walking with this enemy, two of them. They're walking, they're talking. Because they are all from the same place, you know. Talk. The conversation was so nice, you know. And then he looked at one of them. And they both have swords. They're well equipped. He told one of them, you know, when he realized that now the conversation with them is friendly conversation. They even forgot that this is supposed to be their enemy. So he told one of them, oh, where did he get this sword? He said, ah, this sword is very nice. It's very sharp. He praised it. He said, is it possible for me to see? You know, I love swords, you know. He told him, no problem, take it, you know. He gave him the sword and he looked at the sword and he kept on looking until the time he realized that this guy relaxed. He got him on his head. Hatta barad. The time he died instantly. When his friend saw this, he ran away back to Medina. And now Abu Basir is chasing him. And the guy was running. The Prophet ﷺ was in the masjid. He saw the man running. And somebody was chasing him from behind. He says, لَقَدْ رَأَ هَذَا ذُعْرَى. He said, definitely this guy is in trouble. We don't know what is chasing him, but definitely this man is in trouble. So he went to the masjid and dropped himself in the middle of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, Ya Muhammad, please help me. My friend was just killed and I'm going to be killed also very soon. Abu Basir came and was very angry. SubhanAllah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Abu Basir, what is this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, now I am not under your control. You have already told me to go. Now I am on my own. Prophet Allah understood the message. He says, Wayla ummi. He said, Law kana ma'ahu rijal. He said, I wish he had some people to support him. You know? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I am not under you. I am on my own. So Prophet Allah said, oh, that's nice. He says, I'm not involved. He told them, he told the man, he says, actually, I'm very sorry. We can keep you, but I'm very sorry. I cannot do anything because I've already given you the man. Why did you let him go? So Abu Basir said, Ya Rasulullah, let me stay in Medina. He said, no, this one, no. I have to go. He says, then I will be on my own. So he went to a place between Makkah and Medina in the cave, and he lives there. The next person came from Makkah, went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, we are upon the ahd, we cannot keep you. So he went. On the way, he met Abu Basir. Abu Basir said, no problem, no need to go to Makkah, come here. So they became a lot of them there. Quraysh went out of Makkah to Sham to go and buy their things. And the only way they have is this. The other way is very long. When they come, these people, they came out. They became guerrilla fighters. The Harbil Isabat, yeah. And within the mountains, you cannot fight a person. Even within the Buyut, you can't fight a person who is a citizen. How about on top of the mountains and the rocks and the caves? They came down, they killed, they packed the things, you know. SubhanAllah, the next time also Makkah came, they get them. Makkah sends army, they run away, you know. Makkah go back, you know. Subhanallah, Makkah started to get into a maja'ah, you know, starving. No food is entering Makkah. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "Ya Muhammad, you remember in that agreement, right?" He said, "Yes." You remember that there is one point that says if somebody converted to Islam and he comes to you, you have to take him back, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, can we delete that one? We want them to come here and live with you." The Muslims understand how excellent is in that decision, you know. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to them to come to Medina. Subhanallah, they were so happy because they also don't want to live in that place. But at that time, Abu Basir was sick. They said he just took the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read it, and then he passed away. Subhanallah. He did not manage to see the time when they come to Medina and stay with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last condition which they violated, which is the Banu Bakr and Banu Khuza'a. Khuza'a is with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what is the other one? The Banu Bakr, they're with Quraysh. So they fought each other, and Quraysh, they supported their own people. And the treaty says you cannot support your allies against the ally of the other one. So Quraysh support, and they killed the people from Khuza'a, and that was the reason why they sent somebody to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared to go on and get them. It's a long story. At the end of the day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam get inside Makkah as a victorious, and he won against them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the reference here. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. He's referring to the Fath. Makkah is one of the greatest battles that marked the success of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Makkah is the Ummu al-Qura. Ummu al-Qura means the mother of all cities on earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this place from being corrupted by anyone. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Because after this, people kept on coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepting the religion from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in delegates. Ta'if came, many qabail came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepted Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the sign that your time is up in this dunya. You have to start wrapping up and intensify the amount of the ibadat you're doing. That's why he says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّبًا. You have to increase the amount of the tasbih you do, and do the istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the one who accepts the repentance of whoever repents to him. So that's إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And I will stop here. I thought we're going to finish the surah, but Mazin says, the Quran, but Mazin says we will not finish now. So next time, please don't talk. Yeah, let me try my best. But inshallah, next week, most likely we will finish. And then we go back to Surah 2, Al-Fatiha. Because last time we started from Juzu Tabarak, right? Yeah, Juzu Tabarak. So we will go back, inshallah, we start our journey. Maybe our grandchildren will come and finish. Because this one take us 2 years, 3 years? Somehow. Only 1 year? No, Abdul Manat. Only from... okay, 1 year. Okay, so inshallah, this is how many Juzu? Jazain, right? Yeah. So we count how many years then? No, inshallah, before we die, we will finish, inshallah. Allah grant you good. Yes, Mazin. Yes, Yusuf.
Can I ask a question, Jim?
Take a little bit of time.
When a surah is Makkiyah or Madaniyah,
When a surah is Makkiyah or Madaniyah, how does it have any effect?
Yeah, it does. It's really good. Yeah, because sometimes in the controversies, we manage to reconcile between them knowing where the surah is revealed. Yeah, when you have clashes between the nusus, we can say, this one is Makkiyah. That means it was given first. That one is Madaniyah. That one, that means it comes afterward.
So Nasikh.
Yeah, Nasikh al-Masukh. It helps you so much in the Nasikh. Yeah. And even if you don't go with Naska in Tarjih, in general, yeah, it really helps.
And another question, Sheikh, you mentioned regarding al-istishfa billah.
Istishfa.
Al-istishfa. I mean, you cannot ask Allah to give shafa'ah to someone.
I mean, to Allah to seek the shafa'ah of somebody who is that person.
How about like when people say anshuduka Allah, as'aluka billah?
It means as'aluka Allah, as'aluka billah.
I ask you by Allah
subhanahu wa
ta'ala. It's a different.
It doesn't mean I want Allah to intercede from you. No. Anshuduka Allah is similar to as'aluka billah.
Yes. Excuse me, Shaykh. One very short last one. You said you cannot.
We always have two questions, so don't worry. I already know that the second one is coming. So,
Sheikh, you mentioned that you cannot call someone Ar-Rab.
I know.
But in Surah Yusuf, irja ila Rabbik.
Ila Rabbik.
Return to your.
قابل إضافة. ما قال الرب. ما هي واحد اسمه الرب. ذاك رب العالمين فقط.
ذاك الله.
رب الدهر. ما في مشكلة. يعني صاحب الدهر. رب البيت. ربة البيت. You call the wife ربة البيت. صاحبة البيت the one who gives تربية to the بيت but الرب هذا لله عز وجل الخالق هذا لله عز وجل الرحمن هذا لله وحده عز وجل اللهم آمين
شيخ النبي عيسى السيس عليه السلام إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت and some scholars argue here that because his قوم was كفار and he says وإن تغفر لهم they argue that having, for example, hope that may Allah may forgive them if someone is a kafir, it's okay. Instead of praying for them, not praying, but implying.
Against them. We can just apply this one also. We said in Allah, إِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ
But and the adab is given because they are kufa.
Yeah.
Allah says, and
تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم.
Yeah, adab is given. It's obvious, but why تغفر لهم?
Yeah, that's he did not say, يا الله اللهم اغفر لهم. It just being lenient. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن شاء عذبهم إن شاء عفا عنهم. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the one who died in kufr, there is no forgiveness in his case. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim asked Allah to forgive his father. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا أَمْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim says, لَا أَسْتَغْفِرَنَ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَا عَنْ ذَلِكَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek the forgiveness of Allah for his mother. Allah said, no. Can I visit her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes. So all of these are showing that we are not allowed to ask Allah to forgive the non-believers after they died in the non-believing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ So it's not appropriate, it's not halal for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah to forgive al-mushrikeen. It's not halal. That we have heard some people when the Pope died, they said, "Allah, may Allah forgive him." على ما كان من العمل. That's haram. As a Muslim, you can't do that. We're not supposed to get involved in the affairs. We don't say anything. We just leave it like that, open. Yeah. So that one is not Isa asking Allah. Even if he asks, the nusus in our Sharia that says we cannot ask, they are superseding this. We cannot use that one to ask for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the kuffar. It's haram to do that. Yes, Rifat.
So there is another hadith, as I can remember, where Allah, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "جاء الإسلام غريبا وسيعود
غريبا."
غريبا. No. So how can we relate both hadiths together?
There's no contradiction actually. Yes. Islam is going to reach everywhere. But that's no contradiction. That's Gurba exists and remains. You see, the Muslims are there and Islam is increasing. But Gurba here means to feel the loneliness. Now, you're living in a Muslim country, any place, any Muslim country. Trust me, if you're following the correct path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to be doing, you'll be gharib. You'll be gharib. You Allah. Sometimes even in your family members, you'll be alone. You'll be living alone. Your wife doesn't want to follow. your children don't won't follow you because of the illusion out of the house. You suffer a lot trying to preserve your religion. And I'm talking about the Muslim territories. I'm not talking about kuffar countries, no, Muslim countries. Don't we have Muslim countries that if a sister wear hijab, you grow beard, you'll be in trouble because of these Muslim places. And you have other places where the law says it's okay for you to do, but amongst all the people who are coming to the masjid, you are the only one who is doing the correct thing. Are you gharib? Yes, gharib. Yeah. So this ghurba is there. بَلَا الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. So it doesn't mean Islam is going to be the minority. No, all the nusus are showing that Islam is going to be the vast majority on earth. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in that hadith, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in the heart of you al-wahn. And also تَتَدَاعَ يُشِكُ أَنْ تَتَدَاعَ يُشِكُ أَنْ تَتَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تَتَدَاعَ الْأَكْلَةُ إِلَى قَصَارِحَا. He says the nations will be calling upon each other to come and snatch you. Just like the way the hungry people call upon each other when the food arrives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this, the companion said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ. He says, is it because we are the minority? He said, no. He says, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. He says, you are many, you are a lot, but just you are just like the bubble of the river, which doesn't have any benefit in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the mahaba from the heart of our enemies, and He put wahan in our heart. And they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what is wahan? قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. Yeah, hear all of these statements nowadays, you know. So we're too much occupied by the dunya. So that's why this gharaba is there. You practice the religion correctly, trust me, in this life of ours, you're going to live alone. Yeah. We all experience this. And up to date, you will be experiencing this. In the middle of the astiqa and the ahibba, sometimes you feel very alone. It's like there is nobody with you on earth. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you should be patient. Because you will be, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who's holding upon his religion is like somebody who's holding upon al-jamr. Allah, I have no doubt we reached this time. Actually, long ago, Imam Shatibi in his book, Shatibiyah, he was saying, وَهَذَا زَمَانُ الصَّبْرِ مَلَّكَ بِالَّتِي كَقَبْضٍ عَلَى جَمْرٍ فَتَنْجُو مِنَ الْبَلَى. Imam Shatibi, when did he exist? 800 years ago, 900 years ago? He was saying, this is the time that the Prophet ﷺ said, the times of patience is coming. I don't know, what would he be saying if he comes to our time? Allah, seeing the way that the organized corruption and destruction of the Muslim community is taking place by those who are supposed to take care of our religion. Yeah. So this is the gurba that he's referring to. So there is no contradiction between spread of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to everywhere and also at the same time people becoming strangers in the places where they live in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salam al-afiyah, but we really need to be patient. As I always mention, make sure you don't harm anyone. And if you follow the correct way, you will never harm anyone. It's just about people don't like to see the truth. You are just, it's like a threat in them. I enjoy the statement of one of the brothers. He spoke the truth, although he doesn't follow, but what he says is the truth. He was talking to his friends when in the company where he works, everyone is there doing something which parent said, a Jew doesn't do that. A'udhu billah. Iwallah. They organized an event which one of the parents was saying that even in the Jewish community, they don't do this. It's so out of Islam, so against the religion of Allah. So among them, there are some people who don't go, but then people kept on talking against the people who don't join. This brother, he is also joining. But he was attacking the people who are talking against the people who don't join the evil project. He told them, be happy. At least amongst you, there is somebody who is holding his breath, not following the wrongdoing. Maybe punishment will be avoided, you know, from you because of that single person who doesn't join. So I guess you get what I'm talking about, right? So this gurba is there, and it doesn't contradict the fact that Islam will be spread into every place. Hasn't any a lot. Okay. I have like 2 minutes to Maghrib. Ask until you hear the adhan. Yeah.
Barak jazakallahu khair. Ahsan Allah ilayk fi dunya wal akhirah. Are you supposed to fast every day when you cannot afford marriage? Will we get the reward?
Fast every day. Fast one day, fast and one day off. Yeah, and do it correctly. And try to stay away from anything that can provoke your desire. You fast every day. But you live in the middle of the thing that can provoke your desire. Fasting will never work. This is just like a person that you tie him, and then you throw him in the water, and you tell him, if he touch the water, you will punish him. ألقاه في اليم مكتوفا وقال له إياك إياك أن تبتل بالماء. It doesn't work. Fasting in the middle of the fitna doesn't help you in that way. You have to fast correctly. But don't fast every day. Fast according to your capability. Monday and Thursday is very good. If you add the 3 work days, then you become every month you're fasting around 12 days. That's the. If you want to go beyond this, then one day fasting, one day off. But don't fast every day. That's exaggeration and glue. And you don't need it in order to protect yourself.
Last question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Some of my colleagues and I pay a fixed amount every month for transport to and from work. However, this week, there was no transport arranged for a specific reason, even if we still paid the fixed amount. So we had to specially request for it. The driver has now requested for voluntary extra payment as a form of thanks to him. May I know if it's right for me to contribute? Many of the colleagues are contributing to this.
I didn't get the question. The question is about contributing to what?
To the extra payment, the voluntary extra payment requested by the driver.
They already paid him his right.
Yeah, even if we still paid the fixed amount, yeah.
Yeah, but they pay him his right, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve any extra payment. I can say I don't want to contribute. If we do, that's ihsan, that's good. But nobody should be forced to pay that extra amount, as long as the right is being paid. Unless if the driver is in need, then we support him. As a Muslim, as our brother, we have to support whenever he needs. Even if he doesn't help us in driving us to the place of work. Yeah. One more question. So read the short ones.
Okay, we have one short one.
Okay.
So, the correct opinion regarding living with the husband in Jannah is the last husband the woman marrying.
Marry first Mazen before you ask this question. Because the correct opinion is the one that says al-mar'atu li-akhir azwajiha. A woman will live with the last husband she stays with in this dunya. If let's say she married and then she was divorced. And then she married another one, she was divorced. And then she died, not being under anybody. Yeah, because she was not the wife of anyone. On the day of judgment, then she chooses amongst them. Who does she want to live with? But if she dies under the custody of somebody, as his wife, she will be with him also on the day of judgment, as a wife. Yeah. Even if he divorced her after death, Sheikh Mustafa Makhdoum Qari told us the story of a sheikh who lost his wife, and then when he put her in the grave and he told her anti talik, anti talik, anti talik 3 times. We asked him, Sheikh, what is this? He says, because I read that she's going to be my wife in the Akhirah. He says, I don't want it. He said, the dunya life is more than enough. But that one is useless. Even if he divorced her after the death, or not, it's too late. And actually, that's wrong way of thinking. He will be looking for her when he goes to Jannah. Jannah is different life. He will be looking for her. Yeah, I don't know what kind of life they have here, but in Jannah, it will be different life. He will be looking for her. That happens when you look at the Jannah through the glasses of the dunya. You always be wrong. Yeah, in Jannah, there is no hatred. There is always forgiveness and forgetting whatever happened. Yeah. They're going to enjoy life. He would never enjoy life without her in Jannah. Yeah. Yes, Yusuf.
Even if the woman is better than the man.
Even if?
The woman is higher, closer to Allah than the husband.
Yeah, they have sometimes. This. That would be bonus. Because that's a good question, actually. But Why do you ask this question? You know, the focus is on the man. But a sister, when she's righteous, does she go to Jannah? Yes. Which Jannah? His or her Jannah? Her Jannah. Right? Her Jannah. That best Jannah, she will go. If the husband is a loser, like many, she does Qiyam al-Layl, he does Qiyam al-Nahar. So he's very kind, and he is a loser. He knows that. But he's so happy because he's attached to her. On the Day of Judgment, she will be given her house. Yeah, with all the privileges in the house. But who's the husband? He's the husband. He will be given his house. How are they going to live? Just die and see when he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, but we believe everyone is going to get his house. That's why I said, look at Jannah with the glasses of Jannah. What would you be concluding with? You said, we believe that both will be given their houses, but how are they going to be living? Allahu alam, until we go there. But Allah told us that everyone is going to be happy and she will not stay alone without husband. How is she going to stay with him in that place, and how the houses are going to be merged, if they're going to be merged, how is it going to take place? We tell them, فَلَا تَعْلَمْ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, just be patient. Wait until you see. You're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not human being. Yeah. So everything is possible. And whatever you don't imagine also is there in Jannah. In Jannah, you talk to a person who, you have a tent in your house, which has around 90 kilometers, the length or the width, 90 kilometers, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it's about 30 miles, one tent, and full of family inside. They don't see each other, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How does that happen? We say, this is Jannah. You are sitting in your Jannah, you just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to see Fir'aun. And you see real Fir'aun in front of you, inside hell, and you are in Jannah, and you converse with him, you talk to him. You talk to whoever you want to talk in Jannah, in hell. And punishment of hell doesn't come and affect you in your house. How does that happen? Jannah. That's how it is. You are enjoying and he is suffering. And you talking to him, live talking. He sees you, you see him. And you enjoy and he is suffering. Yeah, so that's why we just leave it in the way it is until the time we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us firdaus, inshallah, and show us the day we have a better gathering in Jannah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.